You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
On this week's show...
I didn't do my kids' birthday parties. I just think, my God, I would have to have a separate account for a therapy session for when they're older if your mum is your kids' entertainer.
But before all of that... Welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. I'm going to open today on a different note. Who would like to know a secret about today's guest? Wendy, I'll start with you. Would you like to know a secret?
Me. Yes, please.
I'll tell you, and it is that she is my girl crush. So despite being married to a man, mum of two, I love this actress, and now she knows. Mainly because I want her to be like the character she's most famous for playing, and because she writes cookbooks and I like food. So with no further ado, welcome Faye Ripley. How are you today?
Hello, I feel slightly awkward now.
Don't worry, I thought we were safe because we're not in the same room.
No, but you can probably find out where I live. And, you know, I don't know. It's gone quite intimate quite early.
She's ever so nice, Faye. Don't worry. She won't hurt
I'm
you.
I'm also quite lazy. I won't look at where you live and I won't knock on your door.
Hey, join the queue, kid. nice to be here. Thanks.
No problem. Now, Faye, first question, and having had a little bit of a chat with you before we started recording, there's definitely one of these three happening in your house this morning. So, any sweat, any snot, or any tears in the Ripley household today?
Yes, I think.
Oh, all three. This is a bold start.
Details needed, please.
I feel like that, you know, they all come together, don't they? So I have just... I'm a week after laser eye surgery to fix my eyesight. And so I'm very moist in the eye area, which at my age, moistness is to be celebrated, really. and unusual. But I've been sort of doing some work stuff and having to do a lot of apologizing for sort of bulging eyes and drippy eyes and all the rest of it, and trying to get on with things. But so that's been a bit of a trauma. And, you know, I've got teenage kids. There's always tears. That's just the life, isn't it?
So how old are they now?
Well, we're not there yet. So, yeah, tell us.
Yeah, we want you to be our parenting guru because you're a step ahead of ours. Ours are 10 and 7 and 10 and 6. So we need you to tell us what to expect and how to handle it, please.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm definitely not going to be able to give you any tips due to my bad parenting, but I can certainly give you some red flag warnings. Mine are 15 and 19.
Wow.
And, but it does feel like only yesterday that I was you. That cliche is entirely true.
The days are long, but the years are short. All of that shenanigans.
Yes. The years are like my legs. That's right.
And my legs. That's fine. Short legs are fine.
Okay.
The 15-year-old must still be at school, right? But what's the 19-year-old up to? Are they both still at home?
They're both still at home. Yeah. I mean, my generation, I left when I was 17. That doesn't seem to sort of happen anymore. That's not really an option. I'm glad about that. I mean, I would like to trap them until they are 50. That would be good for me on many levels. But it's a weird sort of self-harming thing, that, because also there is a load of, you know, awful stuff that is about them wanting to leave and me wanting them to leave. It's you're constantly in this state of wanting two things at the same time.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's a thing of... You know, the empty nesting thing is very real at my point. I mean, basically, have you ever known anyone to have children, to sort of make the decision, or, you know, to have your babies? Is there any point at which you say, I really want to have some adults?
I know. I say this all the time. whenever something goes wrong, I'm like, this was not what I was thinking the day that I said, should we have a baby?
No. But I think at your you still imagine the school years and school runs and packed lunches and all that. No one is going, I want to have children to so that I can talk about contraception with them. No, no one is no one's going there when they're having their contractions. No.
Even when you're wishing away at 3 a.m. the baby years and saying, I just want them to grow up and sleep, you're still not thinking, I really want to talk to them about whether they're going to have a coil and how to use a condom. It's just not there, is it?
100%. And by the way, the sleeping thing, is that's a myth. So when the years like you're in now where you go, oh, if only they would just sleep, your children are coming back at 5 a.m. So you're being woken at 5 a.m. any which way, let me tell you.
Okay.
Great. That's... We've got all this to look forward to.
So what are you up to, Faye?
Because... Yeah, what do you do around all this worrying about them coming in at 5 a.m. and researching contraceptive methods?
Well, I mean, you sort of think that you'll be able to then go to work, for instance, and not be so worried about leaving the kids. That is also not true. I feel the same level of responsibility as I did when they were Diddy and I went to work. So I don't feel like freer at work, but because I cook a lot and stuff, I'm very controlling and I haven't taught them really to sort of fend for themselves.
On purpose, so that they will always need you.
This is the thing, isn't it? You completely. I mean, it's that that's the dilemma. If I teach them to cook, what will happen to me?
Yes.
It's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, my son loves cooking, but he's, you know, busy being a 15-year-old boy, so there's not a lot of times. But anyway, what am I doing? The honest truth is that my 19-year-old has come out of education and, I'm sorry to say, is attempting to be an actress.
Oh, following in her mama's footsteps.
Well, you know, if I was a doctor, I'd be slightly prouder of saying that. But yes, there is a sort of family thing going on. And my husband.
Do you not want her to be an actress? Is there a part of you that's like, oh, God, don't do it. It's hard work.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to persuade her not to from when she was very little. But I'm also... You know, like all of us, I'm a mum that wants her kid to do what she wants to do, and so I will support her. But I know what's ahead, so it's, you know, it's sort of, it's amazing, but it's also really hard. And it's, you know, she's a woman in a world that is not changing at a quick enough pace, etc. So she's, you know, it's hard. It's a hard place to go into, especially when you're young. You know, and the upshot is that at the moment, how you audition is on tape. And you video yourself on your phone or whatever, but you need someone to do that with. So guess what I'm doing every day? I'm on the other side of the camera suddenly doing really bad accents for my daughter's audition. And also slightly thinking, well, I think I should get there. I mean, I think, is there a part for an older lady, darling?
So what sort of roles is she going for?
Yeah.
Much better than my roles. I've actually not even told her. I've auditioned for some of the same projects, but for a way smaller part.
No.
And I'm like, oh, good luck. How did that go? Did you hear from your agent about that, darling? I'm thinking, well, I haven't heard. Anyway, it's like there's a sort of acting factory going on. At the Ripley household. So anyway.
But surely the reason she wants to do it is because you and her dad have made it look amazing. I mean, you essentially are famous for being Jenny, who the whole nation adores. Isn't that a great place to be in or not?
I mean, I think that she's definitely seen that there is much joy to be had from being an actor. I mean, we have it, both my husband and I have enjoyed many elements of it. And, you know, she has to take the photos for the people that want to stop and have a picture taken with Jenny from Cold Feet, for sure.
Yeah.
And they're always lovely, I have to say, and everybody's always really nice to me. So that's good. I guess because I don't play a villain.
Yes.
Maybe it's different, but...
I think Jenny is also every... one I know who's ever watched Cold Feet can relate to something about her, whether they're a 20-year-old woman, which is probably how old I was when I first started watching
yes.
it, to watching you now. There's elements of her character that everyone goes, oh, Christ, yeah. Whether it's
the short legs or...
Short legs, I've got those. Or the relationship with your mum. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Lovely
tutting analogy. In the kitchen and glugging wine. Yep, all of that. So yeah. I think she's just hugely relatable as a character.
How much of her is you, though? That's what I'm interested in. Did you make her that or did the writers make her that?
I mean, you know, you get a script, but I think that we all, I think that show in particular, and when you get those shows where you're in them for, in this case, 25 years or something nuts, you inevitably sort of make it your own. You sort of have to. But it's, I'm not sure that basically when you do a character like that, which is sort of your age and, you know, a mom and all those things, you make it as relatable as possible. And I mean, I was very argumentative about my role at times because I felt strongly about it. Do you know what? The cancer storyline was the thing that I dug my heels in the most.
Interesting.
About.
Why?
Because it had to be right. It had to be, that had to be the right story, because getting it wrong in that case was not okay. Whereas getting a story about a marriage or, you know, doesn't really matter. It's drama. It's fun. It's, you know, it's just those two, their couple, it's their argument, it's their affair, whatever it is. But, you know, a breast cancer storyline, as I found out from the responses of people who were going through similar things, it meant a lot to people that that story was told properly. So that I got quite shouty about, you know, that had to be right.
And men were writing. Shouty.
A man was writing the script. So it needs a female, you know, to, and in fact, it wasn't just me. It was me and particularly me and Janet Horsfield, who did all the makeup and the wig with the losing of her hair, of Jenny's hair and stuff. And all of that sort of debate and sort of toing and froing about scripts and stuff became very, very important to us. And I'm glad that we did, you know.
Yeah, it's massively important, massively important. But I also think it's a sign that you are like Jenny, that you didn't just shut your mouth and get on with it. You stood up for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, I think we can say there are parallels there. I like to think that the main thing that would be true of both Jenny and I is that you definitely want her on side in a fight. It's like, I like to think that, I don't want to show off girls, but, you know, I was head of the student union. You know what I mean?
Well, I actually think I'd want her on my side in a fight, and I'd like to go to the pub with her. I think having a drink with Jenny would be a momentous evening.
I did sort of slightly object to how much she drank in the show. Right. I kept saying, I don't know what you're saying about, like, women in the north. It's just never off the booze.
Well, women in the south aren't much different, I've got to say.
I don't know, but anyway, they kept giving me the pretend wine. It was only pretend.
Oh, that's a bit rubbish. Now, Jenny, I'm going back in time to your former career, and I'm interested in whether you ever resurrected yourself as a kids' party entertainer for your own kids' parties.
Oh, God. That's right. I was a clown for, I used to do my little brother's kids' parties, and I still see them. They're now, you know, hairy, middle-aged men. But I was their entertainer, because my brother is quite a bit younger than me. He's like a 14-year age difference. Funnily enough, my brother said, do you want to do your nephew, you know, his kids? And I was like, Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have those red shiny shoes. I don't know if I've still got them.
Did you keep them? Did you keep them?
I think they're probably somewhere. I didn't do my kids' birthday parties. I think if your mum, I just think, my God, I would have to have a separate account for a therapy session for when they're older. If your mum is your kids' entertainer.
Well, clowns are pretty freaky anyway. So
yeah, I think I need a bit of counselling just about clowns generally.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a full-on clown. I did a sort of, I was kind of sexy clown, if I'm honest.
Oh.
I was always going for, young, free and single, maybe one of the young dads.
Did that ever happen?
It didn't, funnily enough. But I was, I would wear sort of, like a little cross over my eyes, but no white. A little bit of red lipstick. But yes, Mischief was my clown name. And it was people that I, did their kids' parties. I'm sure you think that you lot probably all think that your children's entertainers are having a great time.
No. I think it's the hardest job in the world.
I couldn't be paid enough ever to do that, I don't think. That's why I pay them to come, because I'm not doing it.
I mean, you have tricks. The tricks are, the toilet run is the best. My specialist kind of parties, I was always said to, I was very motherly. So all the kind of lads with the magic tricks would get the older kids, but I always got the little ones. So I'd get the threes and fours because we'd all have a cuddle and da da da. And mums would love to see that. And it was all very cute. But the main thing about a 2.5 hour party with 3 and 4 year olds, I would do 2 toilet runs. I mean, that's an hour and a half. Because one kid, mums like it. They think then they won't wet themselves on the carpet. So you go, anyone need the toilet? And if no one's putting their hand up, you just look at someone and go, anyone need the toilet? And they go, yes. One hand goes up. 25 kids want to go to the loo. Perfect. So off you go to the toilet.
Well, imagine that in the times of COVID when you have to wash your hands and sing happy birthday twice. It would have added another 20 minutes on top of that.
Brilliant, though. Brilliant. Because, by the way, the children's entertainer don't actually want to spend time entertaining your children.
Of course they bloody don't.
Just want the tip at the end.
Come on, give us more tricks. Give us more tricks.
I used to have a magic line to crowd control, which you could use.
Basically means don't come near me, don't touch me, kids.
So if you draw in the kitchen, but you just you do a magic line and you say, if you step over the magic line, when the parents are there, you say, if you step over the magic line, you will break the magic. And then in my thing, it was then Harry the Hedgehog won't be able to come out and say hello. But when the parents weren't there, I said, if you step over the magic line, you will die. Okay. Because I needed to make it clear that I needed them to sit down. Don't move. And, this is before people really videoed much. So there wasn't much evidence of my, I'm going to say, bullying. But anyway, the magic line is really handy.
The magic line, the toilet trip. I'm liking these so far.
Yeah, I'm having a magic line tonight, which is that's mummy's magic line. Yes. Don't cross it or you don't know what's going to happen to you when you're asleep in bed tonight, guys. Yeah,
exactly. So,
now, is it true that you put down clown on your mortgage application form at the time and it was accepted?
Thank you very much, Halifax. Yes, it is. Nobody questioned it. Nobody asked for any accounts. They just went, sure. What do you want? Nice big house? Don't mind if I do. I was just a student and I was living with my boyfriend and I had to pay the mortgage bit. And I was like, how am I going to do that? I'm a student. Oh, I know. I'll go to the Halifax. And then they did it. And then we all couldn't work out why we went into recession after that. So they were giving mortgages to clowns.
Literally.
So is there more cold feet coming? Is that on the horizon?
Or more clowning. I want to see the clown.
Well, I hope not more clowns.
Okay.
And I think probably not more cold feet. Only in that I haven't heard anything to say that we would. But having said that, I probably would have said that before and we did. So maybe maybe they'll do that. I mean, we'd all love to do it. I know that all the cast would like to do it. So,
well, we want you to do it.
I think it would be fun to sort of, you know, it's something that we all love doing, and it seems to be that people still, I mean, I do still get stopped a lot and asked on social media and all that stuff a lot about it. But anyway,
I think it could run and run. We could have, like, when you're eight in your 80s, like Cold Feet in an old people's home could be bloody brilliant.
Adam would still be shagging, definitely.
Yes. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? It's like the point where you go, I don't need to see this. I'll do that. Like, nah, I don't need to see that. But anyway, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, no, there's loads of other stuff that I'm busy doing. So it's sort of, you know, it's one of those things where you go, well, listen, if it happens, it happens. So
it's a nice position to be in. Now, seeing as you write cookbooks, I'm guessing the answer to the next two questions is going to be A, you, and B, something hugely impressive. Now, we asked this of all of our guests. Faye, who's cooking tonight and what's for tea?
Oh, definitely me.
Well, she won't teach them to cook, so it's got to be
true. Can your husband cook, or is it just literally your kitchen? Everyone else, get out. Don't touch my stuff.
My husband can cook. Will I let my husband cook? No, I won't, because the cliche of he's really messy. But also it's the thing of I've actually sucked the life out of him. That's the thing. Oh, no, that sounds
wrong. Oh, Faye.
Well, there's two ways one could take
there
that.
There we go.
Oh,
getting
God.
Intimate
no,
again.
I mean, I've taken his confidence. And now when he cooks, I just can't help but sort of there's a passive aggressive. Like, I'm like, it's quite oily, isn't it?
Do you stand like over his shoulder looking in the pan and kind of going, I wouldn't have used that?
He says I do.
Do you think that heat's a bit high?
Yes. There's a lot of that, apparently. I don't think I'm doing that, but he says I'm doing that, so I probably am. But I like it a certain way. Well, sorry, I like it to be amazing. So I'm going to have to do that. So I am much more than I used to. And I think this is actually about having older kids. I am able now in a way that I didn't used to. I used to need to have my routine and prep and do a lot of prepping because the kids are small and we're all working and on school runs and all that stuff. And I can do more like, I'm going to throw something together tonight. I've got some simple vegetables and
living
I'm
on the edge.
Them. So I might do a bit more of that sort of thing. I'm very much enjoying the sort of Middle Eastern vibes. I do a lot of roasting stuff in the oven, as in more vegetables than I used to, trying to pull away from too much meat. And so my son, unfortunately, the two kids have very different requirements. My son, 15-year-old son.
Always the bloody way.
This is the thing. This is it. And I'm bringing them up with the same food. How does that happen?
It happens in every household.
Yeah. Well, I swear, they decide what they like based on what the other one hates and vice versa. Like, it's not actually what they like. I swear to God.
No. I mean, the one thing I would say about food things with kids, because a lot of people have come to me and said, oh, I've got a fussy eater, what do I do, and da da da. The only thing I would say is don't give up on them. Sometimes they're just doing it to obviously piss you off, but it's that if you just put a little bit, don't have to waste, because it's just put a little bit, keep putting a little bit on the plate. And so many times with my foodie son, he said, oh, I don't like avocado. Don't give me avocado, for instance. And I'll just put a little bit there when we're having it. Year later, he'll be eating the avocado. It's not, you don't have to stop for the rest of their lives. I didn't used to like mushrooms. I really like mushrooms now. It's okay. You can change your mind. We're not defined by, oh, I don't fancy that at the moment, or I've had too much of it and I've gone off it. You can come back round. What I'm saying is you can come back round on these things.
So you have a foodie son, but a non-foodie daughter?
Daughter, and I don't know. Hey, you could. I'm no therapist. but I'm going to say, is this a little rebellion against her mother's cookery skills and her mother's control over the food in the household? But she's very much like just wants plain food, white food, nursery food, that sort of, you know, and I'm trying to say, you know, let's keep it healthy, let's, you know, have lots of vegetables, let's be inventive and play around with flavors. And she's like, don't play around with anything. Just stop playing around with stuff and just give me basics. She'll have a fish finger, you know.
I have one of those. I have a, if it's beige and it came out of a frozen packet, I love it. And if it's colourful, not a chance.
No.
She wants to be a vegetarian, but she doesn't actually eat any vegetables. So there's a small problem.
This could be a problem.
Yeah, that is difficult. The answer is, I'm not sure how old yours is, but then you have to say, 10. Okay, give me the menu for the week. You give me the menu.
Yeah, done. That's a good idea.
But also the other thing is to give her a cookbook and say, a one that you want to cook from that's family friendly and all that, and say, pick out the recipes, let's try it. Because another family I know, well, that worked really well for them. And the kid would, I mean, you can't maybe achieve it every week, but you could just do it for 1 week for a fun week. And they'll pick it out and you do it. And some will be more successful than others, but they'll be in control of it, even though you've cooked it.
Annie, I think we have a solution.
I like this idea. I'm going to try it and I'm going to phone you up and shout at you if it goes wrong for you, okay?
Oh, don't do that. Also, that's more of you trying to contact me outside of this podcast.
I know. You've brought out my stalkerish tendencies. Right. I think we should go to the last question before Faye runs away.
Faye, I need you to wipe your weepy eyes and I need you to prepare for the final question.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And actually, given the stalkerish tendencies, this is going to be... Imagine that Annie and I... You're tucking us into bed. We can't sleep. And sing us the lullaby that you used to sing your kids.
Yes.
Hang on. I've got to remember it. That menopause is causing me trouble. okay. I will go and fetch the water. I could never remember the second bit. And it was from some cartoon.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey.
I don't know where it's from.
Did it often work?
Disney thing.
I can see this crush evaporating.
Well, what do you want? You want some kind of Tom Jones, like, oh, not involved. I don't know. What do you want?
Well, on that epic singing note, we'll love you and leave you, Faye. Thank
Brilliant.
You for entertaining us.
Pleasure. And you can tune into my podcast.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Tell us.
Well, we were asking you, tell us about your podcast.
What's it called?
It's called Badil and Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's David Badil and me unboxing stuff that we've bought, some off the internet, some at the shops, one thing from a man who sold it on our doorstep, and we unbox it. So all the stuff that you get sort of adverts for and everything else and think, oh, should I try that? Oh, that looks good. We basically review it.
I love the sound of this because I fall for everything. If I see a picture of something, I have to buy it. If I read about something, I have to buy it. I think it's an illness.
It is. And we are tapping into your sickness because we also have it. We have that. Brilliant. We are both shoppers and gullible. So we're sick of seeing stuff, getting it home, going, I mean, it's rubbish. I wish I hadn't bought it. So we're buying it for you and we'll tell you if it's any good.
So what sort of stuff?
Everything from Goop, which is the Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, don't say the vagina candle.
You didn't.
You did. An electric bike, a meat
I have
claw,
to listen now to hear about the vagina candle.
A blackhead sucker. We went through it all. A water bottle that smells like lime, so it tastes like lime. I mean, there's all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff that sort of comes to you, you know, on your Twitter feed that we've bought and gone, mainly gone, don't buy it, I have to say. But sometimes we do buy it. Sometimes we love it.
I am
We will definitely be tuning in.
Yes. Thank you so much, Faye. What a lovely way to while away a morning.
It was lovely.
Thank you, girls. That was fun.
Go and sort your eyes out. And Matt, we'll be listening to the unboxing.
All right. Thank you.
See you later.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
I've no idea how to leave.